Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Wichita, Kansas, earned a B.A. from Wheaton College and a Master of Divinity from Gordon-Conwell Theological Seminary. Since 1999, he's been the CEO and founder of PastorServe, who is strengthening the church by serving pastors with coaching, crisis support, and consulting. Also, since 2014, he's been the chairman of Cross International, which reaches those in deepest need around the world. And as such, he's made more than 125 trips to train leaders in third world countries. His name, Jimmy Dodd. And I'm Jack Grisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Grisula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to a phenomenal human being, one of the nicest you'll ever meet in your life, Jimmy Dodd, the CEO and founder of PastorServe. Jimmy, welcome, and honor to have you.
It's great to be with you, Jack. I feel very honored to be here, so thanks so much.
Can we start this evening by you leading us in an opening prayer, please?
I would love that. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the amazing gifts that are all around us each and every day. Father, we thank you for this day that we have life, that we have breath. Father, we realize that everything we have is a wonderful gift from you. So now, Father, we pray that this conversation would just encourage, Lord, just each one out there, that each one, Lord, there would feel like there is something that we talk about that would be just for them. So, Father, by your Holy Spirit, speak really deeply to each heart here. We love you. We give you praise and thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're talking to Jimmy Dodd, who grew up in Wichita, Kansas. Jimmy, let's go back. Talk about your childhood, your mom and your dad, please.
Yeah. You know, it's really interesting because if you were at my house, you would say, wow, you grew up in kind of a lower class neighborhood. You grew up in a very, very small house, and it kind of looks like you were actually poor. It's interesting because my parents were very, very blessed. My dad, he was a lawyer, and he was an entrepreneur, and they owned a lot of apartments and buildings, and they just chose their values very, very differently. And so we lived in a very, very modest house, and we had an airplane. So we flew almost every weekend. We would fly places and go and do things. And I mean, my dad was a very spontaneous guy. So we would have so many Saturdays to wake up, and he would kind of, you know, just kind of check the sports page, and he'd say, okay, there's a big, you know, big game today. It's going to be Oklahoma against Texas. We would drive out, hop on our plane, fly to that game, go to the game, always scalp tickets, and then fly home after the game. We did that hundreds of times growing up. And so it was just interesting because everybody's like, well, you grew up in a very kind of like a lower, you know, class home. It's like, yeah, but my parents just had really different values. So we had a plane and we also had a boat. And so they just enjoyed playing and fun and recreation. And I had parents that were extremely supportive. My dad was just always at every game I played, every athletic event. And there were a lot of athletic events because this is way back in the 60s, and you didn't have to, you know, really choose a sport by age four, you know, like you do now. And I got to play like all sports. And so my dad was just very supportive. He was at everything, and he was my baseball coach, actually, for years and years. And I feel very blessed to have amazing parents that are both with the Lord now.
Where did you get your love for Scripture, Jimmy?
You know, that really came, I think, from, I think, probably the first time was my we were very active in church as kids, very active in church, but that didn't mean that I actually knew Christ. It just meant I was very, very active in church. And my brother, who's about 5.5 years ahead of me, there's one time he came home from this big time with these friends, and he said, you know what, I just gave my life to Christ. And we all think we're Christians. We've kind of been going through all these motions. But I now have a really special relationship with God. And we thought, okay, he's crazy. But I watched him over that next year, and it was real. I mean, he went through this radical transformation. He became a much nicer person, a much more just very much a gracious person. And I mean, after a year, I'm like, okay, Kenny, there's some things in your life that I've watched over the past year. I think that this is for real. And I really want what you have. And he just began to just open up the scriptures to me. And I would say that that's the point where God just quickened my heart, and I began to really love the scriptures. And so I would say the main one there has been actually my brother Kenny, who I will always be very, very grateful for, because he was just a great way for me just to see Christ actually modeled in front of me, and it changed my life.
We're talking to Jimmy Dodd. If you want to learn more, www.pastorserve.org. Jimmy, how was it you decided to become a salesman for God, a pastor?
Because God called me. I mean, listen, I didn't want to do this. I did not want to do this because my dad was a lawyer. He had a very successful practice, and it was very clear that, gosh, if I went to law school, that I could probably step in, and very soon I could be actually a partner in this practice. And it was a large practice. It was a growing practice. And so I kind of thought, man, this would make me set financially for life. And yet God just continually pushed on me. It was like, you know what? I want you to be one that speaks for me. And I'm thinking, Lord, I think a pastor's like the last thing I should do. I think I'd be a really good, actually, attorney, but not so much as a pastor. And I mean, God just hounded me. And it was a clear call. I mean, God clearly called me. And I mean, it was hard because I'm thinking, all right, God, I don't know if I really want to do this, but I cannot deny this. So it was a very clear call. And my brother is also a pastor. So there was nobody to take over my dad's law practice, which I always felt so bad about. I thought, man, my dad built this practice, and he really built this thing up for us. And God called both of his sons to be pastors and not lawyers. So that's just the way it goes sometimes. But I've been very, very content in this role. There's a lot of hard days, a lot of long days, just lots of long, long hours at times. But I feel very content. This is where God has called me, and I have no doubt that I am in the right place, and I get to care for pastors now, and I'm right where God wants me to be.
We're talking to Jimmy Dodd. When we come back, we'll ask him about the 20-year chapter in his life where he pastored in Chicago, Boston, Greenville, South Carolina, Kansas City, Colorado Springs. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula. We're with Jimmy Dodd, the author of Survive or Thrive, Pastors Are People Too, What Great Ministry Leaders Get Right, and the best one, with his wife, Sally, The Magnificent Names of Jesus. All right, for 20 years, you pastored in Chicago, Boston, Greenville, South Carolina, Kansas City, Colorado Springs. Talk about that 20-year chapter, Jimmy.
Yeah, that was years of growing and learning, that there were probably two really big things that just really, really shaped my life and my heart and my ministry. One was I was on staff at a large church up in Boston, and it was a very, very well-known church. We had a lead pastor who was extremely well-known, and he was just like my hero. I thought this guy, you know, just was the absolute best, and this guy could have been a Fortune 500 CEO, just so gifted, just strong leader, strong everything. And then we learned that he was unfaithful to his wife. And that was a punch in the gut. That was a punch in the gut because the whole staff met at this church, and we said, how could this happen? How could this possibly happen? Because I thought you were really close to him, Bill and Steve and Paul and others. And it was like, well, I thought you were close to him, Jimmy. I thought you were doing stuff with him, Dan. And it just became so clear in this conversation that he was surrounded by people, and yet he was completely isolated. And that's a major issue that we still see with a lot of pastors. And we make the assumption, well, it's a large church, and they're surrounded by people. Surely they have a lot of close friends with whom they go through life with. That's a bad assumption, because there's a lot of pastors that go through life, and they have people all around them, and yet emotionally and spiritually, they're completely isolated from other people because they have that huge fear of, man, I can't be honest with you. I can't tell you these things I'm actually really trying to stir within my soul, because if I told you these things, I think that you're going to think less of me. If I shared with you really honestly all the issues in my life, if I was your pastor, I think that you'd fire me. So there are so many pastors that keep everything inside, and oftentimes, so they're just extreme detriment. And so that was this pastor. So that was a massive lesson to me of, wow, this guy seemed to have everything together, seemed to have a very happy marriage. I mean, he wrote a best-selling book on marriage. And there was one time that we asked him, okay, Gordon, if God were to, if there were some big, big issues, what might be it? So actually, if you were to just have your life wrecked by Satan, how would that happen? And he said, you know, I really don't know, but I can tell you the one area in which Satan can't wreck my life, my marriage is too strong. And man, pride go, you know, right there before the fall, obviously. So it just wrecked his life. It was just heartbreaking. And so that was extremely significant. And then we came, and I had always been in some very big, big, big churches all around the country. And we came and we started from scratch in Kansas City. So it was me and my wife and my kids. So we started from nothing. And God was gracious, and he built up this church, and the church began to grow, and things began to happen, and it was very exciting. But I just began to have that huge fear of, oh my goodness, okay, now I can't really confess my real sins in my life, because, you know, so many people are in my church, and they'd be so disappointed. I can't talk about my lust. I can't talk about my envy. Can't talk about my greed. Can't talk about my, you know, the fact I'm so very jealous of other, you know, of this pastor in that church. And I found that I just became absolutely miserable because I was posing and pretending to be a lot better than I actually was. And it is emotionally, spiritually, physically exhausting to go through life pretending to be a lot better than you actually are. And that's when God broke me. And I just knew, okay, I can't go on like this. Because I'm not being honest with anybody, and I'm doing a lot of posing and pretending. And everybody assumes, and this is always a dangerous thing, we see a strong front stage, and we assume that your backstage is very healthy. That's a terrible assumption, because I had a really strong front stage. It was a great church and good preaching, and everything was good in the church. But backstage, man, I was an absolute wreck. Because I had that huge fear. If you really knew me, you know what? You're not going to like me. So I'm not going to be honest with you. I'm not going to share my big issues with you and my faults and my, you know, just on and on. And then God just broke me, and I didn't know what to do. But I knew enough to reach out to five men and be honest with them and say, all right, I know it looks good. It's not good. The front stage is good. The backstage is a wreck. Help me. And, boy, those five men spoke grace and truth in my life, and I became a lot more honest about my issues in life, about my shortcomings in life, about my sin in my life, about the fact that I mess up every single day, the fact that I need God's grace every moment of every day. And it was the most freeing thing in the world, because I could stop pretending. I didn't have to pretend to be, hey, listen, I have it all together. I don't have it all together. My life's a mess, Jack, as is yours and everybody else's, I know, right? It's like we desperately need Jesus. And so that was absolutely life-changing for me.
Most every listener tonight says, absolutely, my life's a mess. It's these crazy times. I don't know what's going through. I'm not sure that God is still out there. And I quote you now, don't hold God in contempt for promises he never made.
Right.
Jimmy.
Yeah.
What does that mean to you?
Yeah. You know that I meet with people and they're angry at God. They're angry with God. My mother died of cancer, and she was so faithful in church for so long. And my son was in this accident and he's in the hospital. And I think, for all I've done for God, God, heal my son. And my spouse is so far from you know, Christ right now. And I'm praying for my spouse, but you know, he's just a mess, and I don't know what to do about that. I'm so angry with God. God never promised that there would not be you know, cancer and car accidents and kids that don't love the Lord and spouses that don't love the Lord. He never promised that he would take care of those things. Nowhere in Scripture. He never made us those promises, and yet we're angry with God for promises that he never made. And the thing I say over and over and over again is, listen, he has made us promises in Scripture. In fact, he made us 7,464 promises. Claim those promises and hold on to those things. Claim the fact, God, you promised me you will always be with me. You will never forsake me. Lord, you promised me when I'm tired and weary, if I come to you and I just take a deep spiritual breath, you will give me rest. That's a promise in your word. We need to claim the promises of God. In the deepest, darkest valley, the Lord is my shepherd. He will always be there. Claim the promises of God, but don't be angry and hold God in contempt for these promises that he never made to us. But there's a lot of people out there very angry with God. And as you start to just dig into why they're so angry, well, God broke his promise. Which, okay, how? Well, my wife passed away from cancer. I am so sorry that happened, and I grieve with you. But God was with you in the midst of that. But God never promised that he would heal your wife from cancer. He can heal your wife from cancer, and there's a lot of times in which it does happen. But he never promised you that he would. So don't be angry with God for a promise that he never made to you.
We're talking to Jimmy Dodd. When we come back, we're going to talk about that in 1999, he became the executive director of PastorServe. And I'm Jack Pasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rosola, and we're with Pastor Jimmy Dodd. Jimmy, 1999, you become the executive director of PastorServe. What is PastorServe?
Yeah, so I went through that time where I just became just really honest about just all of the big issues in my life. And it's interesting because years ago I was on the radio. I had a show. A lot like you, Jack, although I was not as popular and not as well-known, and I'm obviously not as, you're very good-looking. So, yeah, you know, I mean, like, you had everything on me. But anyway, I had a show.
And also, my Lions beat your Kansas City Chiefs about 5-6 weeks ago too, in Kansas City in the opener.
Jack, we had a vote here in Kansas City. We all talked in Kansas City, and we said, listen, there's only one team in the entire NFL that's never played in the Super Bowl. Let's just vote. We feel sorry for these people. So let's have our best players not play just to give them a chance. And so we voted as a city. And because we're so kind in Kansas City, we said we feel so bad for Detroit. And we have so many championships here that it just seems to be the right thing to do to give them a chance. And so that's why the Lions won, Jack.
Father, forgive them. Forgive Jimmy, for he knows not what he does or says. Okay, PastorServe. Tell us about PastorServe.
So I begin to have lots of pastors call me and say, hey, I heard your radio show. Something's different. Something's changed. You seem to be a lot nicer. You talk a lot more about your own issues. You seem like a pastor that would be very safe to just talk with and process with. And I would say, I don't think I have a lot of wisdom, but I can meet and we can talk and I can just listen. And so I begin to meet with pastors. And I think that they went back and then they shared with their friends and their friends called me. So I began to very, very consistently meet with pastors about 1998. And it's one of those things, I heard 1,000 different stories, but it was the same story every time. It was always, okay, I have a big issue in life. It might be my marriage. It might be my church. I'm in the midst of this big, big conflict, and I just don't know what to do. I have addictions in my life, and there's a place where I'm supposed to go. I'm supposed to go to my board. I'm supposed to go to my elders, my deacons, my district superintendent, my bishop, whoever it might be. But I would never go there because I'm so afraid that if I went there and if I was honest with those people, I think that they'd fire me. And what that means is I've got no safe place to go that I really believe is confidential, where I can just process these huge, huge issues in my life. Jack, I heard that story over and over and over again to the point where it broke my heart. And that's where God changed my call. God clearly changed my call and just said, all right, there is a need to pastor pastors, because every pastor needs a pastor. Pastors have the same issues as anybody else. They have challenges in their marriage, challenges with their kids. They might have anger issues. They might have addiction issues. They've got the same issues. And yet so many pastors don't believe that there's a safe place to go to be completely honest and receive grace and hear the gospel truth and be loved and walk through these things. And so God just said there needs to be that place. And so we launched Pastor Serve. And at the very, very start, we made a strong commitment. This will not be a white male suburban pastor's ministry. We will serve the whole church across every denomination, across every race, across every gender. So we don't just work with one tribe and we work with one small group in one tribe. We work across the board. So we work every day with Vineyard and Assembly of God and Calvary Chapel and Baptist and Anglican and Presbyterian and Wesleyan and Nazarene. I mean, we work all the way across the board, and it's a huge joy to do it. And so I'm a part of an amazing team. We have offices all over the country. We have staff all over the country. And if you're a pastor that has got some things in your life that you would just want to talk through and process through, we would love to do that with you.
Our great mutual friend, Pastor Doug Schmidt, told me a few years ago that between pastors, priests, and rabbis, each month, 1,700 of them quit the profession. That's 21,000 a year. Yep. Can that be, Jimmy?
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly right. And last year, there were 3,000 churches that were actually launched in the USA. So brand new churches started in the USA. Over 4,000 closed last year. So we're not keeping up with the population. We're not keeping up. And so there are more and more pastors leaving. More and more would leave, but they just had this real sense, gosh, there's no place to go because I don't have a backup plan right now. Vocationally, I was trained as a pastor, and I would like to leave. I would like to find another role that I could play, but I don't have any other skills. And it's so sad because I meet so many ex-pastors that work in a car lot or like at UPS, or they sell copy machines. And it's like, I would like to do something else, but I was trained as a pastor, and I don't have a broad skill set. And I don't know if there's anything else I can do. So there are pastors that would like to leave, but can't because there's just no place to go, which breaks my heart, which just really breaks my heart.
We're talking to Jimmy Dodd. One of his books is Pastors Are People Too, What They Won't Tell You, But You Need to Know. If a listener says, wow, Jimmy, what can I do about this?
Yeah. Just know that your pastor has got issues just like you. And you've got to do everything you can as a church just to create safe places for your pastor. Purchase basic things for them, like coaching. Like, we would love to work with them and to walk with them. They just need to make sure that they have a safe place to go. But there are ways just to help pastors and just encourage pastors. But even just to write a short note and say, thank you for what you do. I appreciate you. I know you work unbelievably hard. I'm grateful for you. Thank you. Because I promise you, they hear criticism every week. They hear criticism of the message and the music and the drums were too loud and on and on and on. There's always criticism. And so just to take just a few short minutes and just even not just an email, but to write them a handwritten note, I can promise you that when pastors get a handwritten note from people, they save them. They save them. They'll have a file that says, these are just these, cards of encouragement I've got over the years. And pastors will go back at times and just read those because they need to be encouraged. So a handwritten note, can go so far. And you could even put in a gift card in there and say, I hope that you and your spouse could just have a special date night. Now listen, here's what you don't do. don't say, hey, listen, I really want to bless you, so I want to have, you're going to have an amazing date night with me and my spouse. That doesn't become a date night for them. That becomes a work night for them. And you think, gosh, I want to bless them because they're going to be out with me and my spouse. We're going to go to this great restaurant together, and then we're going to do this concert together. That might be okay, but that's not a night off for your pastor. That's a work night because they're with you. So just bless them with just a gift for just them. Give them a gift. It's like, hey, I hope that this just allows you to have just a great night out. I hope that this just really, really blesses you. But there are simple things that we can do to really bless our pastors and our priests and our rabbis. And yeah.
We're talking to Jimmy Dodd, who believes that family is your pastor's primary ministry. And I'm Jack Rasulin. This is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR.
Jack Rasulin, host of WJR's Anything Is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
15 of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. And Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohol. I'm Jack Rasulin. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Jimmy Dodd. Another one of his books is The Best of Church Leaders, Survive or Thrive. And you've got six key principles of things you have to do to thrive. Can you quickly tell us the most important of them?
Of course I can. So we just believe that those pastors that thrive have got six really key relationships, and it's boss, trainer, coach, counselor, mentor, friend. So just very, very quickly, a boss can be a champion. Every pastor needs to have a champion. Every pastor needs to have somebody that fights for you, that believes in you, that wants you to take vacation, that wants you to spend time with your spouse, that wants you to have date nights, that doesn't want you to work, just crazy hours every week, that wants you to have some balance in life, that wants you to be at your kids' games. You need to have a strong champion. And there's way too many churches that are led by pastors, but there's no champion for them. I meet with so many pastors, and they say, gosh, I fight for my staff like crazy, and I'm a champion for my staff, but there's nobody out there that's really somebody out there that fights for me. Every pastor needs somebody that wants them to do well, and you will just fight for them. And so I believe a boss needs to be a champion. You need to also have a heart that's very, very teachable. You need to be that, you need to read, and you need to hear podcasts, and you need to go to conferences. So, I just constantly have to learn. It's wise to have a coach, and a coach does not have to be anyone that's older than you and way, way, my church is 1,000. So my coach has to be a pastor of a church that's over 3,000. No, your coach could be actually in a very, very small church. Because God can use people that can speak into your life. They don't have to be actually, they don't have to have this great skill set. It's like Dean Smith and Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan could destroy Dean Smith in basketball, right? But Dean Smith was an amazing coach for him. Why? Because Dean Smith could see things that he couldn't. He could say, listen, Michael, when you play games with your friends, I want you to always play point guard because it's going to help you with just your dribbling and everything else. I mean, Dean Smith was a great coach, but he wasn't a great basketball player. He played for Kansas University, but he sat the bench mostly. He wasn't a great player, but he was a great student. There are some great pastors out there who might not be as gifted as you, but they're students and they can help you to process, you know, things and just ask the right questions. We coach a lot of pastors and pastors serve. And then a counselor. It's so wise to have a counselor. About an hour ago, I met with my counselor. I have a counselor that I meet with consistently and process with, because there's challenges in this life. There's hard things in this life, and there are car accidents, and there is cancer, and there is conflict, and there's all these different things. And it's so good just to process the way that this, I mean, just like impacts my heart. It's so good to have a counselor. And I think that there are those who oftentimes say, well, it's been a long time and I've got this wound and it's been there for a long time, but I just don't want to actually rock the boat. Listen, we can have these deep, deep, deep emotional wounds, which are actually infected, and they wreck our lives. And sometimes the best thing is to open a wound back up and just scrub it up just a little bit, because that can help us to heal. It's extremely wise to have a mentor, someone you might just speak with, maybe like each time you hit a big thing in life and you think, okay, you know what, I feel like I'm at a crossroads. I need to have some wisdom here. I feel like I'm in this big maze of life and this labyrinth of life, and I'm at this crossroads. I just need to have some wisdom. And so, you know, that there are those that might be older, that might have a lot more just like experience in life. And you reach out to them and say, gosh, I don't know what to do. And then the thing that is just so important, we desperately need to have a few good close friends. And close friends know everything about you and they still love you. And most pastors would say, I've got casual friends, but I don't have close friends. And we need to have a few close friends that can say, hey, you know what? I see a blind spot in your life. I don't think that you can see it. I think it's a blind spot. But man, I think you need to work on this area. We all desperately need to have really close friends like that. So boss, trainer, coach, counselor, mentor, friend.
In 2014, you started Cross International. Tell us about Cross International.
Yeah. So Cross has gone through a few times where it's actually had some big shifts. It actually started back in 2003. And then we changed some things over the years. And so I became the chair of the board actually in 2014. But it's a work that helps the poor that are just extremely down. They're just extremely marginalized. Those around the world that are in the absolute worst place are children in poor countries that have something wrong with them. It's some type of a disability. Those kids in the poor countries are just oftentimes throwaway kids. And we do everything we can to love and to serve those who just are out there on the margins of life. And so we're very active in Africa. We're very, very active in Haiti, in some hard, hard places around the world. And since our birth, we've been able to do about $7 or $8 billion of aid, that with a B, which is unbelievable to me. I just think it's just unbelievable the way that, I mean, we have just been used to help feed people and to educate people and lots of medicine. And gosh, it's a long list, but there's just an amazing team. And with that team, I'm just a volunteer. I'm on the board. I'm just a volunteer. But it's very, very close to my heart.
Well, you're just
very
a volunteer, but heart. You have taken 125 trips to train.
I've gone all over the world with Cross International. I've taught all over the world with Cross International. I've done lots of trips over the years. Yes.
www.crossinternational.org.
Correct. Many, it's a wonderful ministry.
Jimmy, through the years, many people that have worked in third world countries have told me that they've learned much more from the poor than they ever did from the rich.
Absolutely.
Why so?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that it just helps to put things, I believe, in perspective. Because one thing that I share just constantly is you go on these trips and you'll come back and you will understand that you are rich. And I mean materially rich. Because if you have an enormous amount more than you know, that guy or that guy, you're rich. And listen, there are three things that if you have these things, you're rich. If you have choice, you're rich. Because so much around the world, people don't have choice. I mean, it's the same thing every day. It's going to be rice and beans every day, and they might just actually eat like once a day. They're going to wear the one shirt. They're going to do the same thing every day. They don't have choice. We have hundreds of thousands of choices every day, and we don't even think about it. I mean, like if you stop off at a Starbucks, that's about 50,000 choices right there, right? It's just unbelievable. We have choices every day. Two, if you have the chance just to be alone, if you have the chance to have privacy, you're rich, because so many places around the world, you cannot be alone because you've got this really small house in Haiti and there's six beds and yet dozens of folks live there. So you have to sleep in shifts. And since most of those, they can't find jobs right now. If it's not your time to sleep, there's no place to go. So you walk the streets. That's all you can do. And the streets are always packed in Haiti. They're always packed around the world in third world countries. And it's you can't find any place to go just to be alone. If you can be alone, you're rich. And then just basic opportunity, Jack. If you just have basic opportunity. I talk to people who say, gosh, I have what I have because I worked hard in life. I paid my own way through school. And gosh, I worked these long, long nights. I have what I have because I work hard. And I say, you're incredibly naive if you believe that. Incredibly naive. You have what you have by the grace of God. Because I could help you to meet some guys in Haiti that are smarter than you, and they work a lot harder than you, and they're dirt poor. Why? Because they live in Haiti. Because they haven't had the same basic opportunity. Jack, we both love sports. We both love sports, I know. I would love to hear somebody say, you know what, I know that I'm called the top guy in the world. It might be golf. I would love to have them say, you know what? Actually, I'm the top person in the world as far as golf of those who've had the opportunity to learn how to play golf. Because I know that 0.0001% of the world has even had the chance to even play golf. So I'm very aware that if everybody in the world had the same opportunity, the odds would be very high that I would not even be ranked in the top 1,000.
And anybody that has the blessings to ever meet Jimmy Dodd is blessed for the rest of his life. Jimmy, keep up the great, great work.
You're very kind, Jack.
Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spall.
Believe in yourself.